Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello, darlings, and welcome, welcome, welcome to Slay the Runway on Living Out Loud Radio. I'm your host, Valencia Poirier. But before we strut and sashay our stuff onto the runway, I'm going to give you a minute to share this with all your girls, because you definitely don't want to miss this. So tell them to stop what they're doing and join us over here on the runway. Today's topic is, what's love got to do with it?
That's right.
What's love got to do with it? And whenever I hear that, I automatically hear it in Tina Turner voice. What's love got to do with it? If you are not aware, February is Teen Dating Domestic Violence Awareness. That's right. February is the month that we rock orange, where we are aware and we're woke, so to speak, about teen dating domestic violence. Teen dating domestic violence is more popular than we think. So today we're going to talk about that. It's very important that we understand what's going on in the teen community. Domestic violence is just as serious as it is for teens as it is for adult women. So we're going to talk about that today. So we're going to talk about some stats, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background about me. Growing up, I was a victim of domestic violence as a teen. So now I am a teen domestic violence advocate. So I understand how serious it is. And a lot of times being a teen, we as parents, we have to be awake. We have to know what's going on, because being a teen is a lot of pressure in itself. And we can't always assume that our teens are going to come to us and talk to us about things, because for one, it's embarrassing, and two, no one wants to admit that they are in a domestic violence relationship. And sometimes I don't think that teens realize that they're in a domestic violence relationship. When I was 15 and 16 and I was in that situation and he hit me, and make no mistake, I hit him as well, I didn't look at it as domestic violence. I looked at it more so of, this is to fight our anger by hitting each other. So today we're going to talk about that, because it is never okay for anybody of any age, race, gender, to put their hands on anybody. So one of the stats is roughly about 1.5 million high school students in the U.S. alone. This is not including a third world country or anything like that. This is the U.S. admit, and this is just who admitted to being intentionally hit or harmed by someone they were romantically involved with. When I saw that, it really struck a chord with me. When you think about 1.5 million high school students, these are our children. These are our babies that we drop off every single day to school. And a lot of it goes undetected. And if it's only 1.5 million high school students that admit it, just think about how many really are victims and haven't admitted it. I know that when I was going through it, I didn't want to admit it because, for one, like I said earlier, I didn't recognize it as domestic violence. And second, I didn't want for my parent to intervene. I didn't want to be told that I couldn't see him anymore. I didn't want to be told to stay away from him. I didn't want charges pressed. I didn't want law enforcement, you know, those type of things involved. And so when you are in a teen dating situation, it's important to educate our teens, because we are kind of just built and we think that we have to take it, because at that age, you know, we think we know it all. We think we're in love with that person, and we say, oh, well, it was just that person was in a bad mood. And we tend to okay it, and so we never get the help that we need. And we never tell anybody, and our parents never were aware. My mother never knew about the domestic violence, because I covered up bruises very well. I had alibis very well. I didn't show any signs of distress, and I'm sure his parents didn't know because, you know, again, we protected each other. And so that's why it's important that we are awake to this, because a teen is not always going to come out and tell you that they are being abused. So the next one is, teens who suffer dating abuse are subject to long-term consequences like alcoholism, eating disorders, promiscuity, thoughts of suicide, and violent behavior. I know this for a fact to be true. When I was going through the domestic violence, it was very difficult. Being that I didn't feel like I could talk to anyone about it, and, you know, again, as I mentioned, I didn't want anyone telling me I couldn't see him, because let me backtrack a little bit. We also had two children together, so I definitely didn't want anyone telling me what I could and could not do. So I took my frustration out in other things. My violent behavior definitely escalated. I got into a lot of fights as a high schooler. I was angry all the time. You know, we destroyed each other's property. And all of these things is that once someone experiences violence and they become angry, and they're being hit and they're not sure why, it raises the violent behavior. So if you are a parent and you notice that your teen is being exceptionally violent, and it could be for small things, it was little things that would trigger things. You know, my siblings could say something and I'm ready to attack them, or, you know, could say something very small or not mean it, or maybe joke and I'm not in the mood, and it would escalate. And the reason why is because I always had that defensive behavior. I was angry. And so when you have someone that is being abused, physically, verbally, or emotionally abused, that person becomes more violent. They're a lot more touchy. You can't approach them. They're not as approachable. So that's another sign to look for, parents, when you have your teens. And might I say this really quickly? Like I stated before, I hit him as well. Women, if you have a son, also let your son know, because a lot of times we teach our son, you know, never hit a woman, which is a good thing. But also teach our men, our young men, that if someone is hitting them, that is not okay. They do not have to stay. And by opening their mouth and sharing it with someone does not make them any less of a man. It doesn't make them weak. And by us not okaying that and letting them know they can do that, men are afraid to come forward and say that, yes, they've been abused, or, yes, this woman keeps attacking them. And I believe that, I mean, there's a lot of cases where I've heard where women are attacking these men, and there's been times where it has escalated and the woman has actually murdered him because he's upset. I mean, she's upset about it. And so we as parents, if we have sons, let's teach our sons that it is not okay to be abused. Yes, we want to teach them that it's not okay to hit a woman, but nowadays we have women that are attacking men. And so we can't be blinded to that women are angry and women are attacking the men, and these men are victims of domestic violence just as well as women. So let's educate our young men as well, but also teach our women that it's not okay to be hit or hit others too. You know, if you're angry, there's ways to go around it. And so I just wanted to bring that to the table, because men there, and, you know, young men are embarrassed to come and say such and such is abusing me, because it's looked at as a sign of weakness, or people look at it as, oh, you need to stop whining or complaining, you know, you're going to get beat up by a girl. No, it's not about that. It's about what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. If a man can go to jail for abuse, then I believe a woman should also, because it's never okay for anyone to hit at any time. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you said. It's never okay for someone to put their hands on you or destroy your property. So let's move on. Females between the ages of 16 and 24 are three times more likely than the rest of the population to be abused by an intimate partner. This is so true. When I was in a domestic violence relationship as a teen, I was 16 years old. I was very young. And like I said, you know, we fought all the time. And it never went detected. It never went detected. And so knowing this, we have to talk to our teens, not just about their grades, not just about, you know, their activities and extracurricular activities, but we also need to talk about their relationships. Whether we like it or not, our teens, you know, they're in high school or what have you, and they're beginning to date. They are, you know, they're starting to like men, you know, and women and that sort of thing. And we have to sit down and have these kind of conversations, because the thing about it is we don't know what background that other person has. So we have to bring awareness to our children, not just about protected sex and those type of things, but healthy relationships. What's healthy? What's healthy communication? Because going into, you know, I can remember as a teen, I didn't know what healthy relationships were. I didn't know what healthy communication was. I didn't know how to sit down and have a conversation about being angry. I didn't know that I can come and talk to someone or to get help. Heck, I didn't even know I needed help. That was just the way that we did things. And looking back, that's not normal. You know, I never deserved to be hit. He never deserved to be hit. And being a teen in that situation, I realized that it's more common than not. It's very common. And teens are able to cover up bruises. You know, I remember having bruises. I never forget. I was listening to a song on the radio, and he didn't want to hear it, and I blasted it so loud. And before I know it, he punched me in my face. And that went undetected. I remember cleaning up the blood, and I remember taking makeup and covering it, and it went undetected. And I went home, and nobody noticed anything different about my face. Nobody noticed that one, you know, part of my face was a little bit swollen. I was able to slip through the cracks. And that was a secret that I never told anybody. And no one knew. And the next day, I did the same thing. I patched it up before school, patched it up. And so I say all that to say that it's happening. It's happening right under our noses. It's happening, and we're not aware of what's going on. And this is how sometimes a lot of teens lose their life. Do you realize that teens, when they are in domestic violence relationships, that opens the door to other things, not just suicide and alcohol abuse and those type of things, but stalking. Victims that are domestic violence relationships are also being stalked. The partner stalks their victims because they want to make sure that that person is where they said they're going to be. They're never secure in who they are, so they're stalking that person. So there's other avenues and other things that we have to look at that ties into domestic violence, because it's just really dangerous. And there are teens that have lost their life, and the parents never had no clue, never had no idea. Now, this is the thing that saddened me the most as I was doing research on the stats, and it says 8 states in the U.S. don't recognize violent dating as domestic violence or abuse, which prohibits the ability to gain a restraining order. You heard me correctly, and we're going to take a pause right there. 8 states in the United States do not recognize teen dating domestic violence as domestic violence, so which kind of ties the hands of the teen. So if the teen is being hit, stalked, or assaulted, there's nothing that teen can do in those 8 states because it is not recognized. And this is why, we need to bring awareness. This is why February is important. And every month, not just February, we need to bring this into March, all the way down to December and back to January again. Because the fact that 8 states do not recognize it means that, there is no kind of protection set in place abused. And for me, that's not okay. So if a teen was to go in and say, Johnny is assaulting them, there is no law set in place that can protect her. There is no law set in place where Johnny would have to pay consequences. It's kind of just a slap on the wrist. And so this is why we have to stick together and know what's going on and know our laws. Be proactive in our community. Let's not, you know, I know as parents, we get caught up in going to work and things like that, but there are other things that we need to do. We need to educate. We need to be involved in our communities. Let's stick together. Let's go down to the schools and bring awareness to these things, because I guarantee you, if we bring awareness the way that we should and we are being a voice for the victims of domestic violence, well, then more things will be done. There can be more help. There will be more resources for teens that are involved in domestic violence. So let's make a point and make a pact, to use our voice quiet. Let's not just get caught up in going to work and things every day, but let's really bring awareness. And also, when we're educating our children, then our children will educate someone. Because even if our teen is not the one being abused, I guarantee you our teen may know someone that's in an abusive relationship. So this is why we don't just educate just for our teens, but information gets passed on. You know, the way I see it, if kids can pass on bad things and set bad trends, well, then if we are pouring positivity in them, then it's also possible for positive trends to be started, positive information to be shared with the community. So let's always keep that in mind. So let's move on. 72% of 13 and 14-year-olds are dating. I know. We're going to take a pause right there. When you think of 13 and 14-year-olds, you're like, dang, it's a baby. But can I share something with you? It's true. I was a 13-year-old in a relationship. And so it's very well happening. And so we can't never look at our kid and say, oh, they're 12 or they're 13. They're still babies. Yes, in our eyes, they are still babies. But the fact of the matter is, this generation is a lot more progressive than a couple of generations ago. And so we have to educate our children young. You know, I have a 9-year-old, and I educate him, you know, on different things, because we don't want our kids to go to school and be blindsided. Because I always think, if we don't teach them, then how are they going to learn? We don't want the streets to teach them. So it's up to us as parents, big sisters, big brothers, to teach, to pour into the younger generation knowledge, because this is how we're going to break this cycle. Because if we have more people speaking up, we can save more lives. There'll be more teens that's saved, because they'll know that they have a backing, they have a support system, that they're not going to be judged. And so it's important for us to, you know, again, the younger generation, pour into them and also watch for the signs. So we're going to talk about warning signs for parents, because as parents, like I said, we can't always assume that our kid is going to come to us. Because I know when I was in the abusive relationship, I didn't want to come and get help. The reason why, I had kids with him. I wanted to stay with him. We hit each other. At the end of that, we were good. So we thought, not knowing that that was a toxic relationship, I didn't want to be free from that. And so we can't assume that a teen is going to come to us, because at that stage in their life, they think they're in love. They think they didn't found their future husband. You know how that goes with teens. They think that they've met the man that they're going to spend the rest of their life with, and the likelihood of them coming and turning them in is very, very slim.
it's rare. Statistics says only 1/3 of teen victims will confide in someone about the violent attacks. That's a very, very small number. Very small number. So we're going to talk about a few of the warning signs that parents should look at. If you notice that your child is always demanded to do something by the other person, meaning if you notice that your child can't even go simple places to the store without letting that other person know, chances are that that person is in a controlling relationship. And can I just say this? Relationships don't always start off with physical abuse. A lot of times it builds up to that. Like for my point, it started off as wanting to know where I was all the time. And I was like, oh, you know, he loves me. He just wants to know that I'm safe. And then it went from, you know, who's calling you? Who's in your call list? And then I'm checking his phone, you know, and then, you know, it just goes on and on and on. So never assume that. So if you notice that your child is always checking in with him and you can't do simple things with your child, like go to the store without him or her checking in, that's a red flag right there. So let's open up our eyes to that. Let's see here. Let me go on. If you notice that their partner displays anger in a way that scares you, if your child and their partner is arguing, you can kind of tell by their demeanor how it's going. And so never be afraid to ask questions or never be afraid to interrupt and assess the situation. Partner incessantly calls or texts you. If your child's partner is calling the phone every 5 minutes, every 3 minutes, you know, all hours of the day, all hours of the night, nip that in the bud, because that is the start of something that's not good. You know, these are all red flags of someone that is too controlling. If your child has lost interest in activity you once enjoyed. Now, I understand that sometimes teens, they don't want to do the certain things they used to do, which, of course, because they're grown up and they kind of want to venture off. But if you notice that your teen is one way on Monday, and then all of a sudden they're dating this person and they're more secluded, they seem more depressed, they're more on edge, they're agitated all the time, you know, don't be afraid to have a conversation, because that's a red flag right there. You know, if you've noticed that your teen is increased in depression and anxiety, you know, you can tell a difference between, oh, my teen has outgrown this, versus now they're depressed, they're secluded, they're on edge about everything. You can ask them a small question, and it has been going on in that relationship, and that it's become toxic. Another thing is, when you confront your teen about things about their partner and they become apologetic over their partner and they make excuses, that's another red flag. Abused victims always, most of the time, protect their abuser. I remember when my mom asked me a question about my significant other, and I just basically brushed it off, like she was crazy, she was tripping, she was overreacting. And the reason why I did that is because I wanted to protect my significant other. And so I would find myself apologizing for things that he would do and trying to make it appear that it wasn't as big as it really, really was. Another one is, if you notice that your teen has unexpected and unexplained bruises and marks, I know that sometimes we see bruises and marks and, you know, that old school excuse, oh, I fell down the stairs. You can only say that but so many times. Ask questions. If you notice that your teen has unexplained bruising and they're not in any kind of sport, 9 times out of 10, that person is abused by their significant other. So these are just some of, you know, the signs to look for. Let's see here. Again, like I said, teen is constantly in communication with the partner.
It is not healthy. I don't care for any age. For someone to be in communication with their partner every 5 seconds of the day, they're calling you every 5 seconds. You can't use the restroom without them calling. You can't go to the store without them calling. And God forbid, if you do go 20, 30 minutes without them calling, you have to explain yourself. Those are red flags. So let's be vigilant. Let's be awake. Let's wake up. And let's be aware and understand that teen dating domestic violence is very serious. And it's very important, like I mentioned earlier, that we educate, be a voice for the teen, not be blinded by the signs. Let's educate. Let's stick together, because together we can save a life. If you are listening today and you are a teen that's abused, or you know someone that's abused, I want you to reach out and call the Love is Respect Foundation. They are available 24/7, 365 days a year. No matter what your concern is, you can call them. And their number is 1-866-331-9474. Again, that number is 1-866-331-9474. If you love to text, which most teens do, you can text Love Is to 225, and that number is 225-22. And you're going to text Love Is, because love is respect. Love doesn't hurt. If you're being abused, know that you deserve better, and you don't have to stay there. You are beautiful from the inside out, and you do not deserve, I don't care what you said or what you've done, no one deserves to be hurt. You don't deserve to be bruised, beat up, your property destroyed, and just know that there's a way out. There's always a way out. There is a way of escape, and reach out to someone you love and that you trust. Speaking up doesn't make you weak. It actually makes you strong, because you're rising up against the abuse. You're taking a stand and you're saying that I'm not going to take it anymore. Because when it comes to abuse, what does love have to do with it? What's love got to do with it? Love is not supposed to hurt. Love doesn't bruise. Love doesn't destroy property. And if you're being abused today, just know that you are beautiful and you can rise above any situation that you're in right now. And if that man does not appreciate you, don't worry. There is someone out there that understands your worth and that will treat you the way that you deserve to be treated, and that you have your whole life to go, and you don't have to settle for someone that's abusing you. So just know that you are beautiful, and I believe in you. Well, that is all the time that I have till today. Until next time, don't forget to slay your runway.